Welcome, my ultimate babes, you thieves and lovers, to the greatest spectacle this side of the Mississippi.
Isaac Yaga curtsied before the crowd, his blacked thrift store suit splitting slightly in the knees. He had obsidian hair that levitated in soft waves around his head, as if experimenting with gravity. His face was pale and narrow, punctuated by a leaning, crow-like nose and pupils sharp as polished lead. If he had eaten well in the past month, you wouldn't know it, his skeleton floating inside the old suit with room to spare. Standing atop a sagging milk crate, he widened his arms to the crowd below. An invitation. Applause and a few rough hollers overtook the audience as Isaac straightened up, sweeping a charcoal curl from his forehead, where it had drooped. On a square of cardboard at his feet, a svelte black cat lounged, licking a paw. The cat ignored the clamor with poise. The show continued. 30 or so spectators had gathered in the street around them. It was the same horde of French Quarter tourists Isaac always lured in, drunken businessmen who spent their meager annual vacations chugging passion fruit hurricanes out of disposable goblets and wreathing themselves in plastic beads, their mistresses peacocking on their arms. Isaac winced at their endless guffawing as they stumbled through Bourbon Street's gutter milk after dusk. He despised the way they treated the city like a playground, rather than a breathing, thrumming home where real people lived, where real people died. But it wasn't as if Isaac was much better. Wasn't he, too, only flickering through? Here a few months, then gone. The same as ever.
First off, welcome to the great city of New Orleans. If you like my little show today, I'd greatly appreciate any small tokens you might care to offer me, a wretched showman. I know you came here dreaming of the lowliest ways to spend your hard-earned wages, and I assure you, friends, no money is dirtier than cash spent on street barkers.
Isaac winked at the audience. The cat blinked. Isaac always had a way of wooing a crowd. His voice was clipped and dexterous, like a trained acrobat, his tightrope tongue rarely interrupted. When he spoke, people listened. Were you to encounter him up close, near enough to catch the amber flecks in his tobacco-brown eyes, you'd be surprised to find Isaac's sight peering not outward at you, at the world, but rather reversed down an inward tunnel. Yet the performer Isaac was bold as a cannonball, a master manipulator, able to tug small, invisible strings in the air and make an audience's attention leap up like a marionette. If such a thing as possession exists, one could surely make a case that Isaac Yaga was prone to it, overtaken by some stage demon, an actor's poltergeist, a thousand players' ghosts overflowing from him and bounding out into the onlookers' laps.
Now, if y'all can take out these little devils, he waved his phone in the air, and please turn them up as loud as possible, all the way up, that's it. If your phone rings during the show, you have to buy me a drink, and we're all in favor of that sort of thing.
He didn't truly care about disruptions, but the banter put the crowd at ease, and he needed them to trust him. In reality, a phone chiming amid the cacophony of Royal Street was a single droplet of noise in a great ocean. The quarter was swollen with sound. Clarinet wails boiling over like kettles too long on the stove, hollering soap sellers looming in shop fronts with candy-like samples slivered on mirrored trays, kids tap dancing with bottle caps glued to the soles of their sneakers, and farther off, beyond the levee, the haunted calliope of the steamboat Natchez, whose carnival song could be heard even a mile away. 2 miles. 10. Onward. It was nothing like performing in the cold silence of the Yaga family puppet theater where Isaac was raised. There, the slightest cough would reverberate like thunder through miles of green velvet curtains. He had always felt that quiet as a presence rather than an absence, a molten hush, like liquid mercury swaying in thick silver waves. When he was a child, there had been times when the silence felt suffocating, like being held underwater. Other times, It felt like a friend. In any case, it had been a long while since he had stood on that dark stage, or felt the suspension of a held breath just before the curtains rose. Busking for drunk sightseers, on the other hand, was one disturbance after another. He got used to it.